The law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and we're not under it anymore. And, you know, if you want to use that argument that we're still supposed to tithe, then you need to maybe go along with people and say we still need to worship on Saturday, and we need not eat bacon, we need not eat catfish, you know, the Levitical dietary laws. And most of us here will say, well, we're not under that, we're not under Sabbath worship. And I disagreed with that scholar. I said, that's kind of a weak argument. Well, Jesus didn't come to abolish the law. Well, then you can't pick and choose pieces of the law you will be subject to and pieces you won't. The disciples never taught about tithing in the epistles or in Acts. Now, don't start doing backflips inside and saying, yay, I don't have to tithe. Because they did talk about giving 28 times in the epistles. And giving was about sharing. And that's what we're going to talk about today, giving from the heart. Now, the first recorded tithe in the Scriptures was when Abraham returned from slaughtering the five kings that invaded Sodom. If you're familiar with the story, his nephew Lot was living in Sodom. And a man came to Abram and said there were five kings invaded Sodom, and Lot got carried away with the invasion. So Abram armed 315 trained servants, and he went after him and said he surrounded the five armies. And he defeated him. And when he was bringing Lot back and the people back and all the spoil that they had taken, a man named Melchizedek met him, who was king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. And when he met Abram and he blessed him because God had given him the victory, it said Abram took a tenth of all the spoils and gave it to Melchizedek. He did that to recognize that God had given him the victory over his enemies. It wasn't him and 315 fighting men that did it. It was God. The next recorded tithe we read about was his grandson Jacob, when he had cheated his brother out of his birthright and was running from him. God met him in a dream and said, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to bring you back to this land. And Jacob, when he woke up, he made a promise to God and he said, if you'll give me clothes on my back and food to eat, he said, I'm going to give you a tithe of everything you give to me. Now, the reason I brought those up is because that was before the law of Moses was ever given. So in the Scriptures, it's recorded that there were men and women who tithed to God when there was no written law that we know of for tithing to support it. Now, in the law of Moses, God gave Israel the law of the tithe. And when you read through the whole law, you begin to understand why he asked for the tithe. It's not that he needed their money. But one reason was the Levites, God said they can't have any inheritance in Israel. In other words, their land and the things like I gave to the other tribes. He said, I'm their inheritance. They're going to work strictly for me. They're going to set up the tabernacle, take it down. The Levites is where the priests came from. And God said, I want them to focus on ministering in the temple. Ministering for the people, ministering between the people and me, and taking care of my temple. So he commanded Israel every year when they gathered to bring their tithes into the temple. And those tithes were given to the Levites so they could live. They wouldn't have to be out trying to earn a living. The Levites were also commanded to give a tithe of their tithe. So they weren't excluded from tithing. God also had the tithes gathered so the widows and the orphans and the strangers would have something. He told them every 3 years, instead of bringing your tithes to Jerusalem, keep them in your town. And he said, make sure nobody's hungry. Make sure that you take care of the needs of everyone. And God said, when you do this, they'll eat and they'll be full and they'll bless me. And then I'll bless you. Something I've learned studying about the tithe is like any other discipline in Christianity. It's for God's glory, not for yours. In fact, Jesus said, when you give, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Made me think of the IRS when I read that. But he said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. He said, don't announce it to people. Don't draw attention to yourself that you're giving. And tithing or giving, like any other Christian discipline, comes from a heart of love. And the text I chose for today is out of 2 Corinthians 9. There's a famine in Jerusalem. and the churches in Asia Minor are taking collections up in the individual churches. And they're wanting to send these collections to Jerusalem for the Christians there. And Paul in this epistle is telling the church about what giving involves, why we should give, and what heart we should have in giving. That's why I've entitled this Giving from the Heart. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 6, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsions, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace that God has given you. Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. Our focus will be on verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. When God gave the tithe to Israel, the law of the tithe, we have to understand something, that Israel was a sovereign nation. And God established the tithe, as I said, to take care of the priests and the Levites, and it was also a social mechanism used to make sure people had food to eat. When it was carried out the way it was supposed to be, God said, I'll bless your crops. He said, don't worry about giving the tenth. I will bless your crops. And Israel had a central place of worship, which was the temple, which where they gathered every year. In fact, God said, if you have so much blessing to carry with you and you can't carry it, well, then you can cash your tithes out, add a fifth part to it, and bring that to Jerusalem, and then buy what you were going to tithe. And they not only gave to the Levites, they set and ate out of their tithes. And it was a big celebration, and God said, then you'll be able to celebrate what I've given to you, and people's going to be happy. And the bottom line was, it's going to bring glory to me. You know, in a world today when the people says, does God care? The church, we stand up and say, well, of course God cares. But church, if we don't care, they don't see God caring. Okay? Now, am I saying we're responsible to feed all the hungry, even those who won't work? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that talk is cheap. And God in the law gave them the law of the tithe, and he said, you do this. You give me the first fruits for sacrifices, you bring your tithes in. And he said, I will bless you. Because you're going to be blessing others, and they're going to be thanking me. And see, that way we're not just talking about God loves you, we're showing them how God loves you. Because I love God enough that I'm going to give what he's asked me to give. What he does with it's his business. We get a lot of people stopping in here. The elders have allowed me a benevolence fund. And I've had people come in here looking for gasoline and groceries. I've given people groceries out of our pantry. I've put gas in people's car. And I told Brother Matt one day, I said, I hear so many bull stories. You know, people come in here and think that just because I was born at night, it was last night. And they tell me all these hard luck stories. And I just want to say, how stupid do you think I am? But I told Brother Matt, I've made a decision. I'm going to help all of them we can, and I'll let God sort them out. You're not cheating me. You're not cheating this church. That's God's money we're giving you. And if you want to try to con God, good luck with that. And that way I know that if he does any judging, it's right and fair and just. Because if it's up to me, there'd be a lot of them I'd be sending out here empty. Now, the church, we don't have a central place of worship. The church isn't a sovereign nation. It's conglomerations of different cultures and peoples and nations. But aren't we commanded to show the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are. And the world's tired of hearing about Jesus. I say this to you, and I'm going to keep saying it. They're looking to see Him. And how are they going to see Him if we don't show Him to them? Now, in the law, there were free will offerings which could be given above the tithe. These were offerings you said, God, I just want to give this to you just because you've given to me. You couldn't give free will offerings if you didn't tithe under the law of Moses. You could call them free will offerings, but if you were holding your tithes back, God didn't accept them as free will offerings. You were just showing off because you really didn't trust Him. In fact, in the book of Malachi, God is laying accusations out against the nation of Israel. And I didn't use that text because we're not under the law anymore. But He said to Israel, He said, you've robbed me. And they said, how have we robbed you? He said, in your tithes and offerings. He said, you're stealing from me because you won't give them to me. Now, God didn't need the money. God was basically saying, when you're not tithing, the Levites and priests are forced to go out and try to find other ways to make a living. They can't focus all their attention on what I've called them to do. You're letting them down. The poor and the widow, the orphans, the strangers come in, and there's nothing in my storehouse to make sure they're going to be taken care of. And He said, so you're talking to people about my love, but you're not showing it. James said, if your neighbor comes to you and you're able to help them, he said, don't send them off and say, go be warm, be filled. God bless you. He said, not if it's in your power to help them out. So see, while the New Testament leaders didn't talk about the tithe, and I'm doing this for a reason, because we can get hung up on numbers and percentages, and what should I give as a Christian? What do you owe? You owe everything you have to Jesus Christ. You owe everything you are to Jesus Christ. And all He's asking for in the law is 10%. Man, that's more or less than the government asked for. You know? And they can't make it on the 30% we give. God can take our 10% if that's what we want to give, and look what He can do with it. Tithing wasn't taught, as I said, in the law. The Greek verb used to talk about giving meant to share in the mutuality of a brotherhood by sharing in the common life. Paul gives seven reasons. We're going to talk about very briefly today, seven reasons to the Corinthian church of why a Christian should give. And again, I want to make it plain right now. I'm not talking about tithing. Somebody said, yeah, you're going to preach about tithing today. I tithe. I don't say that to brag. That's just what I did. I said, like Jacob, God, I'm going to give you 10% of whatever you give me. In fact, I actually give more than tithe most of the time. I'm not bragging on me. He needs all of it. I mean, it belongs to Him. And when you tithe, when you give to the Lord, you are saying, I recognize You as my source. I get everything from You. So I want to give back to You. And it's not for Your glory. It's not so we can look at your checks every week and see who's giving what. That's none of my business. I don't want to know who gives in this church. That's between you and the Lord. Giving is an expression of love and a recognition of God's grace. In 2 Corinthians 8, 8 and 9 is the whole text of this, Paul talking about giving. But he says, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. You see, Paul's reminding the church that you have excelled in your faith, you have excelled in love, you have the Spirit's fruit working among you and in you. But he said there's another grace you have to practice, Christian, that's the grace of giving. See, these people here in Jerusalem, they're doing without. They didn't have the welfare system them days. You couldn't sit down and fill out a form and get debit cards. The church was dependent upon the brotherhood. I've had some say, well, see, God's into socialism. Well, no, He's not, because in socialism, they take that from you by force. You're not given that willingly. They take from the haves and give to the have-nots, and they don't care if the haves like it or not, and they don't ask their permission. They take it. If you won't give it, they take it by force. In Christian giving, God doesn't force this upon you. He doesn't say, you will give. He says, I need you to give. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your food. He doesn't need your clothes. But there's a lot of people out here that do. And he says, when you're talking about my love, about your faith in me, Paul's telling this church of Corinth, he said, don't forget the grace of giving. When we give, it's a way of showing and reaching out to people with the grace of God. Well, they don't deserve it. Well, you don't either. You know, I didn't deserve salvation. I didn't pray and God said, well, Rick, when you do this, this, and this, I'll save you. When I came to God, I had nothing to offer Him but a broken life, and God said, I'll take it. And when these people come to us for one reason or another, He says, if it's in your power and you're able, then help them. Well, what about the people that take advantage of us? Well, if we're going to sit around and worry about people taking advantage of us, we're not going to move forward at all. We won't do it. He said to the Corinthians that you need to excel in the grace of giving. The second thing Paul said about giving is giving is an act of faith and shows that we recognize God as the source of all that we have. In verse 8 of chapter 9, he says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now I know that was a mouthful, but Paul says when we give, that shows that our faith is in God, not in what we have. Because we freely give to God, and we're saying, you're the source of all that I have, so I'm going to give this to you, and you use it as you see fit. I have to tell you, it bothers me a little. Through the years, I've been in different churches and met different Christians, and they will attend a local church and even join the church, and then they'll tell me, well, I give my tithes to this TV ministry. Why? Well, I believe in what they're doing. Do you believe in what your local church is doing? Now, if the local church isn't handling your tithes the way they should be handled, then give them to a TV ministry. That's just the way I feel about it. But is that TV preacher going to come see you when you're in the hospital? Is that TV preacher going to come put his arm around you when you lose somebody? Is the TV preacher going to come and encourage you? Am I saying not to support these ministries? No. And you'll say, well, who I give to is my business. It is. But why won't you give to the local church where they can help those locally? I don't understand that. You know, well, I'll be there with my time, but my money's going over here. Paul promises that when we give, he said, God will supply our needs. Not our wants, our needs. And I know some have taken this and made giving sound like an investment scam. I remember a good friend of mine one time said, brother, if you tithe to God, He promises to give you 20, 30, 60 to 100 times back what you give to Him. I said, where are you reading that? Well, I think it's in the Bible. No, it's not. I heard a very well-known TV preacher one time stood up and read the sower parable, the sower sowing the word. And he said, now this is what Jesus said it means, but this is what else it means. And I said, what else? Yeah. He said, you see, if you sow your seed gifts into this ministry, God will pay you back 30, 60 to 100 times. And this friend of mine had seen the same sermon. He said, boy, wasn't that a great sermon? I said, no, it was a lie. He said, you better watch how you talk about God's men. I said, I'm very careful how I talk about God's men. I'll say what I want about this guy. Because Jesus explained that parable. He doesn't need you coming in behind Him saying, but it also is talking about this. I said, brother, if you feel that way, take your money and invest it in the stock market. You need to give to God because you love God, not because you think you're going to get anything back from Him. You need to serve God because you love God and that's what's right, not depending on what He gives to you. That's self-centered. That's egocentric. Well, I'll follow God as long as He blesses me and gives me everything I ask for. Well, then you might as well quit following Him because there's nowhere in His Word where He promises that's going to happen. Jesus said things like, a man's enemies will be those of his own house. Children will rise against their parents and have them put to death. The parents will have their kids put to death. He said, you'll be hated. You'll be mistreated. You'll be beaten. You'll be put to death if you follow me. You need to give to God because you love God, and that's your giving to Him just says, I recognize you as the source of my giving, whether you give to me or not. Giving not only meets the needs of others, but it also stimulates thanks to God. He said in verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. I shared with Matt, I'm in the book of Isaiah right now, and he's reading the book of Jeremiah, and we come in the mornings and we talk, and I said, you know something I really noticed in Isaiah, the more I read it, God says, it's not about you, it's about me. He says, everything I've asked you to do is for my glory, not yours. He said, in fact, I'm not going to share my glory with any of you. Wow. So God says, when I talk to you about giving, it's not for your glory. In fact, if you do it for your glory, that's all the reward you'll get. Somebody will pat you on the back and say, boy, look at all the money they gave to the church. Jesus said, that's all the reward you'll ever get out of it. God says, you give for my glory. We should be singing for His glory. We should be preaching and teaching the Word for His glory, not ours. Now, I like it when somebody comes and says, you know, that was a good message. I got a lot out of that. Praise the Lord. And I always tell you, it's good material. Because I didn't write this. All I'm doing is sharing with you what's already written down. It's not me. When they laid hands on me over here and ordained me and they read the charge, preach the Word, I said, that's good enough for me. I'm going to preach the Word. And I'm finding out the more I read the Word, that God says, you know what, Rick, it's not about you, it's about me. And we want a Christianity where we say, well, God, what's in this for me? Peter asked that. He said, what's in it for us? And Jesus said, well, in the world to come, eternal life. Giving, the fourth thing is, giving follows Christ's example. In chapter 8, Paul says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might become rich. Now, is He talking about physical rich? I don't think so. Jesus left the glory of heaven and took on Himself the form of a servant and humbled Himself to death, even death on the cross, so you and I could have peace with God, so we could be reconciled with God. That's rich. He's my Father. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He uses gold for street paving material from what I read in Revelation. Christ gave everything He had because the Father asked Him to. God gave everything He had because of His love for us. For God so loved that He gave. He didn't hold anything back. And you see, when we give as Christians, we're following the example of our Lord. He's not asking us to do anything He hasn't done. Well, brother, if you're saying we're not under the law of the tithe, then what do I give? Paul said it, whatever you purpose in your heart to give. God loves a cheerful giver, not somebody who gives under compulsion. You know what happens with compulsory giving? We watch a video or something, we get all stirred and say, I'm going to start giving this much a month. And then a couple of months we go, oh man, if I keep giving this much a month, I can't play golf. So I'm going to cut back a little bit so I can play golf or go fishing. And you're backing out on something you've said to God. And the Bible says it's better not to make a promise to Him than to make it and then break it. So see, under giving, God's saying, look, don't be compulsory about your giving. Give what you can, give what you will, and do it cheerfully. Because then there's no regrets. There's no looking back. There's no, well, God, I spoke out of turn. I really can't keep giving this. I know you golfers are sitting there glaring at me. A few people back there could see this. I just use that as a, because I don't golf. Fishing, hunting, bowling, going to the movies, going out to eat every once a week. You know, you pick anything you want. We're very entertainment-oriented in this culture. It's all about me. I read somewhere that Americans spend $2 billion a year on alcohol. What would happen if we took half of that and gave it to the homeless missions? Would there be any homeless people in this country? I don't think there would. Millions, hundreds of millions. I just read about a college that spent $60 million building a new football stadium. Okay, is that money they receive from the government to educate people? Yeah, we like football. What if they took half of that? What if they took a tenth of it and used it to build homes? God has blessed this country immensely, and He will call us to account for that. In giving, we show ourselves to be followers of Christ. That's the fifth thing I want to bring out. Paul says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves men of praise, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. Did you catch that? Paul said, when you give, men are going to praise God because you've been obedient to your confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, you're not just giving God lip service, you're putting feet to it. And people are saying, wow. I was reading that in the early church when the Arian heresy and Gnosticism and all these isms came up in the church and they were trying to lead the church astray, that God's church fathers, the early church fathers, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, would have these public debates and would just cut these people apart. But I also read that one of the debaters watching the Christians said, those Christians not only outthink us, they outlove us. I read that Christians were going to the garbage dumps because people would have children they couldn't afford to feed, babies, and they'd throw them in the trash heaps to die. And people from the churches was going around picking up Roman babies and pagan babies and Greek babies, and they're saying, let's give them a home. And that debater said, you know what? They not only out-debate us, out-think us, they outlove us. Maybe there's something to this Jesus stuff. Talk's cheap, church. When we talk about believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you better put some feet to it. People can see that. In fact, James said, you show me your alleged faith without works, I'll show you exactly what I believe by what I do. What you do shows what you believe, no matter what you're saying out of your mouth. That's just a law. The sixth reason Paul said is giving should be done from a sincere heart of gratitude and joy for what God has done for you. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's one reason I'm glad we quit passing the plate here. I'm not singing our praises today, but I always felt like when you pass the plate, when you got visitors, they feel compulsed to give. Well, better give. They got this plate in my face. If I don't give, everybody's going to know I didn't give. That's why I like this box. That's between you and the Lord. I don't pay attention to who puts what in there. And you know, God's met every need of this church since we started doing that. He's blessed that. The seventh reason, Paul says God doesn't ask us to give more than we can afford. Again, in chapter 8, he says, for if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. Several years ago, I remember I was praying, and I said, oh, God, if I just had more, I'd give more. And I was thinking, boy, God, if you'd just slam riches on me, man, the things I could do with that money. And the Holy Spirit broke in and said, I'm not concerned about how much you're giving. I'm concerned about what you're doing with what I've given to you. You know, Jesus said, if you've been unfaithful with a little, you're going to be unfaithful with a lot. I could sit here and say, boy, God, if you'd make me a rich man, woo, man, the things I'd do. God's not asking you to do more than you can do. James talked about that to the church about giving. He said, God doesn't expect you to burden yourself so others can be relieved. He's saying you give what you can, when you can, and I'll take care of your needs. Do you believe that? Well, that's weak. I remember, I've shared this story before, but I want to close with this. It's a true story. Had a homeless guy come through Mountain Grove. I was working up there. And he came through my sister, Ozark Action. She's got a heart as big as Texas, you know, and I'm very cynical. Oh, this guy, we're getting him a room. He needs a room, but he needs groceries. He needs utensils, and he's an alcoholic. And and I said, yeah, you're going to feed him, give him money, and he'll leave. And it was payday, and I went to Walmart with my wife to get her groceries. And I was waiting on her. She went to do something, and I stand there waiting on her. And that scripture come up in my mind. How can the love of God dwell in you? If you say to your neighbor, go, be warm, be filled, God bless you. May God meet your needs. And I knew exactly what that was. That was the Holy Spirit saying, put up or shut up. So my wife came out and got a cart, and I grabbed a cart. She said, what are you doing with another cart? I said, I'm getting this homeless guy some stuff. And I wasn't happy about it. Now, God said God was a cheerful giver of the Bible. I wasn't cheerful. All right, God, I'll give him that frying pan. We'll give him. Here's a can of beans. Do I got to buy him a can opener, too? Well, yeah, I guess I do. You know, I'm being honest with you. I was not a cheerful giver. I didn't feel like God was twisting my arm, and God wasn't manipulating me, but he just said, well, how's the love of Christ dwell in you? God said, put up or shut up. I ended up spending $70. We got some of our groceries, and I was making about $230 a week then clear. So that was a chunk for me, but I said, all right. By the time I got done shopping, I was over my fit. I'm sorry. You know, you're right, God. I can miss a few meals if I need to. And I carried the food over there, and he's going, oh, wow, thank you. I said, this isn't for me. It's from God. Thank God. You know, I didn't have anything to do with this. God wanted you to have these groceries. And he's like, well, thank God. I said, you go to church Sunday and thank him. There's a Nazarene church right behind this apartment building. You be there. Well, I will. Yeah, sure you will. You know, that's how, yeah, you're right, you'll be there. Well, I was right. He stayed in town for a couple of days in Blue Town, took the pots and pans, and you know, but they were his. And I had a 62 Ford pickup in my yard I'd had for sale for 3 years, and the guy came by 2 days later and bought the truck. It was my dad's, and he gave me $400, and I took the cash to my dad, four $100 bills, said, here's your money. And dad peeled off two $100 bills, said, here's yours. I just want you to have that since you sold the truck for me. So God gave me back almost three times what I spent on that man's groceries. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, boy. But you know what? I learned a very important lesson then, that God says, I want you to give whether I pay you back or not. Maybe, just maybe, someday, that's going to come back to his mind. And he's going to think, you know, when I was really down and out, God helped me. And maybe because of that, he'll give his life to Jesus Christ. I don't know. It's not for me to say who will and won't be saved. All it's for me and for you to do is to obey. So if God is laying on your heart to give to the church, to give to an organization, to give to a neighbor, just do it. Don't ask him, am I going to get paid back for this? Just do what he asks you to do. And he'll get the glory, not you. Why don't you stand with me? I hope I cleared up the matter about tithing. It's probably as clear as the Mississippi River to you, but my opinion flat out is we're not under the tithe. We're not commanded to tithe. And I know that's a silly thing for a preacher to say, because some of you will say, well, then I'm not going to tithe anymore. That's between you and the Lord. I'm not trying to force you to give. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just saying that Christian discipline includes giving. And if you love Jesus Christ and you follow Jesus Christ, you're going to give out of your love for Him. What are we saying?
Without Him.
Thank you.